Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockets, and everything in between? You have entered the domain of, and the podcast will rock. We are the show that dives into the discography and all the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. You know what it is. You've been here before. I am one of your hosts, Mark Kammeyer. Let me just say right at the top, I apologize if I sound weird. It's because I am very tired. It's been a long couple of days, but it's not just me. It's never just me. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. The weather's warm. We got some Van Halen news to talk about, really, for the first time on the show. And I didn't just travel to Chattanooga to go see a concert like you did. So I'm well-rested and ready to rock.
That's all well and good, but I can't help but stick to the this whole point. You said it was warm where you are?
It is. It was -8, which in Canada is like that's late spring.
That's fair, I guess. We had a touch of spring a little bit yesterday and a whole lot today. We were in Fahrenheit. We got up to 72, I believe, was the highest.
Wow.
So yeah, spring is trying its best to come around here. But what we call that in the South is the spring of deception. That means that we'll get a couple of warm days, and then before you know it, boom, cold front, because that's how it happens. And that groundhog is a lying piece of shit. So that's all I got to say.
Well, it's good to know that that affects Tennessee as well, because we have that in Canada. We have full spring, and then right. We have second full spring, and then we're kind of in the midst of the fourth full spring right now, because this weekend we're getting a shit ton of snow again. So
Too many full springs. That's too many.
We have like eight or nine usually.
Ugh, no, couldn't handle it. We can barely handle the one as it is. So but nevertheless, things are warming up. Things are gonna get real hot because it's the Van Halen show and that's what we do. Corey, you said you had some news pertaining to Van Halen itself. What do you got for us?
I am very excited about this, but it's been reported this week that Van Halen's first six albums are receiving audiophile reissues on vinyl and super audio CD by Mobile Fidelity Sound Lab, which is tremendous news. I'm a big a vinyl guy. A couple of years ago, I really started getting into vinyl. I collected all the Van Halen records I could, new issues when I could, first pressings on a couple, like Van Halen 1. There's a couple I don't have because they're impossible to find. A Different Kind of Truth right now online goes for like $500. So I don't have that one yet. And I don't have Balance because I don't think that was even widely released on vinyl. And it goes for even more. Those are two I'm missing. But I do have the first six, but I would be all in on vinyl editions of the first six albums. They're going to split them up. Each album into double album sets for higher fidelity. They're mastering it at 45 RPMs, all that kind of stuff. It's going to sound tremendous. They're only going to make about 10,000 each, and they're going to retail for about $150. So I'm saving my money. Yeah, all that money that went to the water heater, I got to try and get back. So the first album, the first reissue is supposed to come late 2022. And for people who aren't vinyl guys, like a lot of people are CD people, they're going to be remastered on Super Audio CDs as well for $30. So they're going to sound amazing. The first six albums are tremendous. My hope is, and I think, Mark, you might agree with me, I'm hoping this is just a first wave, because I would love to get the Hagar albums this kind of treatment as well. And even Van Halen 3 and Different Kind of Truth as well.
If you're going to reissue the first, six albums from Van Halen, then I don't see why you wouldn't just go ahead and go with the rest of them, especially the ones of the Hagar era, because look, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, and we will, but you cannot deny the overwhelming success that the Hagar era had with Van Halen. So if you're going to reissue, go all the way, go big or go home. Hell, reissue the Gary Cherone album if you want to. I'm sure there's some vinyl collectors that would love to have it just to say, well, I have that. I'm never going to put it on the turntable whatsoever. I'm never going to play it, but I've got it just to say that I've completed my collection. You know, there are probably rabid vinyl collectors out there like yourself that would need something like this because they want to showcase their fandom. They want to have a little piece of just something. I mean, this just sounds cool. I'm not even a vinyl guy. I wish I were, but I just, the train sort of passed me on that one, but I respect it. But if I were a vinyl collector, these would be on my list. Price be damned. I'd find a way.
No, and I'm with you. Release all five of the Hagars. Give me Van Halen 3. There's good stuff on that record. Even though the first track we did off it, Dirty Water Dog, wasn't our favorite.
No, it wasn't.
No, Without You is a great song. Fire in the Hole is a great song. There's really good stuff on that album. So, I think most vinyl guys and gals are like me in that they're completionists, right? If I start collecting an artist, I want to get them all. It's kind of like Pokemon, I guess, for all you younger folks out there. But so I would absolutely, and A Different Kind of Truth is an album, thanks to this show, I am digging the hell out of. So I'm really needing to get that one on vinyl because it sounds phenomenal. And the band was just on fucking fire for that whole thing. So I'm with you. I'm hoping this is just kind of a first wave, you know, release another. Let's see, if we do another six, it would be the four Hagar albums, Van Halen 3 and A Different Kind of Truth. So maybe they split it up. We'll do the first six up to 1984 with Dave. And then we'll do the Sammy albums, the Cherone and A Different Kind of Truth. So
yeah, there you go. That sounds more likely. At least I hope that would be. So vinyl fans, get your stereos ready, get your turntables nice and clean, and make way for some new additions to the collection, all in high definition and all that jazz, all the crazy stuff that they do that some people might complain, you've ruined the record with all this cleanup. No, they've enhanced it. Or at least that's the idea I would imagine. But regardless, we'll be waiting patiently for to hear the news as if they do the other six albums. But until that time, we gotta keep trucking with our show and keep diving into some Van Halen discography. This show has done wonders for my personal listening because I've been blessed and gifted with such gems that I otherwise probably would have just skipped over, or something that I had listened to maybe once a long time ago. And this show refuels my love for the band, but also fuels respect, because some of these tracks is like, wow, I had no idea, no clue. That's the purpose of this show, and that is what we're here to do. But Corey, I must ask you, is there a particular track you or an album that you want to manifest for tonight's show?
Yes, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but earlier tonight, Mark, I was listening to a good friend of ours, Ken Napsok, has a show on Mixcloud called Pop Rock and Radio. And he was just killing it tonight with the songs. And he was playing stuff from like the mid 90s, early 90s. I'm like, early 90s Van Halen, that's For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. And we haven't had a ton of Sammy tunes yet, 15 shows in. And damn, I'm itching for one of my favorites from that album. I know it was my same thought from last week, but I'll probably keep bringing it up until we get one. But I mentioned For Unlawful. I looked high and low online for a vinyl copy of that. I finally found one in Chicago and had it shipped here at great expense, but it hasn't left my turntable since, because I love that record. So give me some Sammy. Give me some For Unlawful. I'm ready. How about you, Mark? Are you in the mood for something today?
I am absolutely in the mood for some Unlawful. Absolutely. Like, as soon as you said it, I know exactly the song I want to hear or that I would love to talk about. There's a couple of songs I would love to talk about, but I'm with you. I'm on board. I will help you manifest some For Unlawful. And we all know Christy, my lovely lady, she has her own manifestation track that she is going to, I mean, every single week she tries, and she got very, very close one week, but it has not hit the track yet. Therefore, I cannot reveal it, but maybe, just maybe, one of us will get lucky tonight with a track that we want. I know there's a particular track I want from For Unlawful, but if I just get a track from that album, I think I'll be happy, even if it's a not so good one. So a one that maybe you don't want to talk about whatsoever, but
I love talking about the ones I don't like, because there's reasons I don't like them. So, and I can't wait for people like on Twitter to tell me I'm a shithead for dissing certain tracks off For Unlawful. But some of my favorite stuff is on that album. Some of my least favorite is also on that album.
I just can't wait. I can't wait till we get to it, because eventually we will. And I just I'm prepared to watch you just unload, and I have no idea how I'm going to feel about it. So with that, if there's nothing else, Corey, what do you say we spin the wheel?
Absolutely. I'm going to play a little snippet from one of the songs I do love for Unlawful. So let's take it to Mr. Sammy Hagar. Gonna be a good one. Van Halen, yeah. 2 Beautiful Girls. It's another great Dave cut. Again, Sammy is shut out. 16 episodes in, we've had like what, 2 tracks from Sammy,
like 2 or 3, maybe 3. Like, yeah, I don't know what's happening. Just I think Diamond Dave's manifestation of his own tracks are outruling anything that we come up with. But Beautiful Girls, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I am so ready for this one.
Oh, one of my favorites from Van Halen, too. Love you. And Van Halen, too, low key, one of my favorite Van Halen albums. There's a lot of love for Fair Warning, Women and Children, all that kind of stuff. And I'm right there with them. But man, a lot of great shit on Van Halen.
I think I figured out why exactly Van Halen 2 resonates with me so hard over maybe most of the other albums. It's because this album was released on my birthday.
Really?
Yes. Now, granted, several years before I came to fruition, or I came into the world. But the day of, so for all you people, March 23rd, it's coming. It's on the way. But in 1979, March 23rd, they released their sequel album to their debut, Van Halen 2. And perhaps that's why it resonates with me so hard. I don't know, but that's just a fun fact.
It resonates with me because in Canada, we have our own Canadian Football League. And the local team here in Saskatchewan is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They're kind of notorious for loyal, crazy type fans, because literally we have no other sport in this province. We don't have an NHL team. We certainly don't have an MLB team or anything like that. We have the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And whenever they bring the cheerleaders out, they play a snippet from Beautiful Girl. So when I was a season ticket holder, we heard this, you know, a few times every single football game. But it's also the 10th track on Van Halen 2, the last track on there, and a great way to kind of cap off this album. Like you said, it was released in 1979. It was a single that was released August 21st, 1979. Again, produced by Ted Templeman, a concert staple for this tour and other tours to follow. When you think of Van Halen 2, this is one of the tracks that readily comes to mind.
Absolutely. This one, Dance the Night Away for sure, but definitely Beautiful Girls is certainly one that I think about. I don't really have a ton to say other than this is sorry to the folks who thought we might get an authentic first, you know, first reaction, but no, this is one of their more popular tunes. So if you're a fan of Van Halen whatsoever, you've definitely heard this song. So we have definitely heard this song. We know it well. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm just sort of burying the show already, but by saying like, I can pretty much guarantee you what you're going to get from our reaction at the end of it. It's going to be predictable, but hey, you came to hear us jam out to Van Halen and to just talk about it. So that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. So let's get started here with Beautiful Girls from Van Halen 2.
Yes.
I just love that beginning with it. Yes, kind of played with you. Mike Anthony, right? You have the great riff, then Mike, just those little accents with the bass. God, fantastic.
It's an iconic, I dare say, just an iconic opening riff to any rock song, I think. I mean, it's indicative of what you're going to get. And it's simple, yet it's complicated. It's your standard Van Halen blues rock riff. Yep. You know, it's just Eddie just having fun. That's what this song is. It's fun. Yep. And, but don't take my word for it.
Exactly. Let's take the bands. Mm-hmm.
She was a seaside sitting just smoking and drinking on ringside. On top of the world, oh yeah. She had a drink in her hand, she had a toast in the sand. Whoa, what a beautiful girl, ah yeah.
Are you coming around on the brilliance of David Lee Roth as a lyricist? That's fantastic.
For this song, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not complaining, because he understood the assignment and he carried it off with a T. But I'll tell you something, that again, this is one of the beauties of this show, is what it does for me. I never really listened to what Michael's doing very intently until now. And you're right. I mean, Michael's just, he's demonstrating, oh, Eddie doesn't think I can play bass. Well, I'll show you, you son of a bitch. Listen to this. Listen how funky I can get. You know, it's like, yeah, absolutely. Show off, Michael, show off. And just wait till those high harmonies.
Exactly. But like you said, he's having fun with this track. A lot of tracks, you know, he might just be kind of, you know, hitting the same note, kind of driving the beat with Alex. But this one here, he's allowed to kind of go out on his own and kind of riff a little bit. And it really works for me. I'm a fan of Michael Anthony.
Absolutely. And to your point about the lyrics, yeah, this is the one where Dave does not miss the mark. He absolutely nailed it.
Yeah. To a seaside sitting just a smoking and a drinking on ringside on top of the world. Like that's a great opening line for a rock song, especially a song about beautiful girls. Like you said, he understood the assignment. This is Diamond Dave and Van Halen firing on all cylinders.
Yes, and doing what they do best. I mean, people call them party rock. Like, well, okay, yeah, sure. If we're using Beautiful Girls as an example, you're damn right. And I love that this is the song at the end of the album, because it's like the party doesn't end just because the album's over.
Yeah, and this song, if I remember correctly, was one of the 25 songs that was on the original demo for Warner Brothers. I think it was called Bring On the Girls at the time, and then they reworked it for Van Halen 2 to call it Beautiful Girls. And
Probably the better idea, but I totally believe that.
All right, let's keep going.
Bitch from the sea with the looks to me like she liked to fool around. What a snappy little mammy, gonna keep a pappy happy and accompany me to the ends of the earth. Ah, yeah.
What a snappy little mammy, gotta keep her pappy happy. Come on. That's fantastic.
It is. It I mean, it's, how often does one get a chance to put into the lyrics pappy and happy right after like one after the other?
Yeah.
You don't often get that unless you are a rock and roll clown like David Lee Roth is. But I mean that in the best way.
Yeah, God bless you, Diamond Dave. You're a genius. Let's keep rolling.
That's why I said,
here I am.
No, you know I got no special plans.
Special plans.
All the bills are paid. I got a maid in the shade, and all I need is the woman.
Oh man, that is like produced and mixed so well, isn't it? Like just
it really is.
Oh man,
everything flows. Like there's no. Dave is in the forefront, sure, as the vocalist, but he doesn't feel like he's drowning the music out. Like Eddie is certainly not drowning out anybody. Like this actually feels very cohesive, mixed the way, you know, you want your record to be mixed so that everybody can be heard, but it blends well. And that's what it is. And especially if you're going to do these three-part harmonies that the boys are doing, you have to blend. It's all about the blend. And this is very exceptionally produced.
Let's give a shout out to Ted Templeman, man. He's a producer extraordinaire, yeah, and absolutely killed it on this one. Oh man.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you think?
It's not the grand magnum opus of solos for Eddie. Not whatsoever. I mean, if we have to call any of his solos that, it's Eruption, and we've heard that, and that's fine. It's great. Yeah. He doesn't need to give you another Eruption-esque solo for a song like this, cuz that's not what the song calls for. Eddie does what he does best when it comes to solos. He's going to play to the song. If he can enhance it in any way, great, cool. This didn't need a solo enhancement, but it's a very beautiful flavor, no pun intended. But that's what he's great at. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's not overly something, you know, cosmic and ethereal. He's not going full Frank Zappa on this thing. He's just being Eddie, you know. He's like, it's a good rock, fun, like party song. And, you know, he's got to throw in a solo because he's Eddie, but he doesn't have to show off about it. So this is Eddie not showing off. If you think about that, this solo, as good as it sounds, that's Eddie just, you know, messing around and having fun. He's not showing off. So just imagine what it could have been.
You know, he put a little stank on it at the beginning there with that little bend, right? That he got a little lower in the register and that, you're like, oh, that was.
I'm told by the younger generation, that's what's called the boomer bend.
Oh, I see.
In rock music. Yes. I really wish I was making that up, but I'm not. I heard that very recently, and my mind kind of caved in on itself when I realize the implications of what that means. But yeah, this is a song of a certain generation, so there's a classic example of a boomer bend, if you will. But you're right, it is stank and it is awesome.
And you know what, and there's Alex and Mike like behind it too, mm-hmm. not just kind of driving the track, they're putting little flourishes in there, like Alex has a little roll in there at the end of that first part of the solo that was really cool.
He does. Yeah. And this is actually, like I say, it's not an overly complicated song, but the rhythm can get a bit, based on the tempo, the rhythm, if you're off, then you're going to throw everybody off. Like this is a very tight, rhythm section. So again, kudos to Michael and Alex doing their jobs, because if they didn't, then this song might not have as much charm as we know it to have, but That's what you get with good musicians.
Yeah, and that's fair to say. Maybe this whole album, like it's mm-hmm. the band was, you know, as tight as they were on Van Halen 1, really, you know, after coming off that big tour, they, you know, toured with Journey and Montrose for a bit, and then Black Sabbath, and then hit the studio, like really at the top of their game. And this is Van Halen, like I've said it before, but this is really them coming off that tour, truly at the top of their game. So let's.
This is going. Like their. This is like their Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
There you go.
The first one was really good, cool. It was different, awesome. But now this.
Yeah, check this shit out.
Sitting just a smoking and a drinking, I'm ringside. I'm top of the world.
Top of the world.
I got a drink in my hand, I got my toes in the sand. All I need is a beautiful girl.
Beautiful girl.
Now, you're a singer, Mark. This is Dave's wheelhouse. I think when he's kind of in this register, right? And he throws in kind of his high little accents, and that's fine. But he takes so much shit. As a vocalist, I think Dave sounds great here. Am I out to lunch?
No, you're not. He does sound great. He's because he is placating into his strengths. This is a song that placates most especially into Dave's strengths, right down to the lyrics, the content of the song, the way the song is structured. This is 100% a David Lee Roth song. If you're going to think about the Roth era of Van Halen, one of the songs that stands out or that needs to stand out, I think, is Beautiful Girls, because it's just unequivocally David Lee Roth. So, he's on the money. He's doing everything that you hope Dave will do in a track, but he's not going like completely off the rails. Not yet. Not until the spoken word section, of course. But it still works, because just the nature of the song is all about fun. And so, you know, he's having fun. They're all having fun. So when Dave is having fun, everybody's having fun, and he's obviously having fun in this song. So yeah, it works.
Awesome. What's your name, man? Where are you going? Oh God, I can't put it into words. This is fantastic. This is I'm reading the Greg Renoff book, Van Halen Rising, and I'm to the part where they've kind of gone through the backyard party phase. There was actually a big riot almost at the kind of their last party. They're in the clubs right now, and just they talk about again Dave not being a great vocalist, but man. He was the big draw at the time. Like a lot of the music fans went to hear Eddie, obviously, but all the girls, they went to watch Dave, because here's this golden god ripped, right? He's not wearing a shirt. Mm-hmm. He's got the nice hairy chest and he's got the long flowing blonde hair. David Lee Roth put asses in the seats back in those early days. So say what you will about the man. One of the best frontmen in rock and roll. A vocalist, I'll give you, he has his limitations, but frontmen, man, David Lee Roth, there aren't many that are better.
There are there's probably a Mount Rushmore for a lot of rock fans out there about who is the best front man in rock and roll, and I would be shocked if David Lee Roth wasn't one of the heads in most people's Mount Rushmores. There's such a thing as it's not all about technicality with your musicians, especially your singers, your frontman, because you need charisma as a frontman. It's not always about if you sound the best, if you just are so precise in your note attacks or anything like that. It's just, no, are you going to bring the crowd? Are you going to put asses in seats? Are you going to make the ladies swoon? whoever. I mean, because if you do that, then you're going to get an even larger audience. I mean, everyone in the 80s understood that. It was just like, if you get the girls, you're going to get more and more fans, because the guy fans are going to notice things like that. Like, oh, these girls are really into this band. Maybe I should get into this band so that, you know, the girls will think I'm cool. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. Don't let anyone tell you differently. And so, as I say, it's not all about technicality all the time. If you can mold the two, great. But then you get someone like David Lee Roth, who is just charisma in a very tight onesie, spandex outfit and whatever he liked to wear back then. All charisma. And with a band like Van Halen, you need that. So that's, yeah, say what you will about the man, but I agree with Corey. It's just, if it comes down to technicality over charisma, I guess you're just going to have to go charisma every time, because that is what has made Van Halen, I think, withstand the test of time. And that's no disrespect to Sammy's contributions. Obviously he's my personal favorite of the singers, but I'm not going to disregard the impact of David Lee Roth. So,
you know, it's funny you brought up that whole story. It immediately brought to mind to me a book I just read called Nothing But a Good Time, which is about the LA Hollywood rock scene in the 80s and how bands like Van Halen kind of begat all these glam hair metal bands. And one of those bands was Poison, who, you know, as musicians, certainly not on par with Van Halen. You know, they got a good front man in Bret Michaels. They got a decent guitar player. Like, they're all pretty decent, but they weren't the most talented band out there. But what they did better than anybody was promote themselves. And they went out there with flyers, and they papered West Hollywood with all these flyers. And they had this plan. And I feel bad for saying it, but this is from the book. This is what they did. They targeted the larger girls and the less attractive girls, knowing that they all had hot friends. And so they made them feel special and got them to the show. And then they brought all their hot friends. So when you went to a Poison show in, you know, at the Whiskey in LA in the 80s, it was 80-90% chicks. And that's how they built their following. It wasn't because they were stellar musicians. In Van Halen's case, you know, originally they were just doing a lot of covers. You know, they're doing Led Zeppelin, they're doing ZZ Top. And obviously Eddie can hear a song once and completely replicate it on the guitar and 9 times out of 10 play it better than the band he's covering. But most of the audience, what, you know, appreciated Eddie, but they were there to see Dave, because Dave's cracking jokes. He's talking, you know, between songs. And again, not the best vocalist, but the charisma off the charts. And he's made a career out of that for how many years now? Poison has done the same thing. Musically, they're not the best band out there, but they're just oozing charisma. And they're still playing. They're going out with Motley Crue and Def Leppard on this stadium tour. So there's a lot to be said for charisma, especially in rock and roll.
Oh, I mean, just a tad of charisma can go a long way. And if you have a whole bunch of it, then you're a superstar.
That's why you and I are on top of the podcasting world right now, Mark, because we just ooze charisma.
I mean, well, only in Australia and parts of Thailand, evidently. But
that's right. Not even all of Thailand. Yeah, just that
not
southern
all of Thailand.
Yeah, that southern tip of Thailand. They love us.
We love you, Thailand. Stream us more. Tell your friends.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the fade out here. We got 30 seconds left. All right, with a little kiss at the end. That's Beautiful Girls from Van Halen 2. I'm just throwing the Dream Is Over file out the window. I don't think we need it here today. I'll go first. It's a great song. It's a great Van Halen song. It's a great rock song. It's a great party song. It encompasses everything you love about Van Halen. The band is on fire. Dave is on fire. Lyrics work. They're fantastic. The production is right there. Van Halen 2 as an album is a triumph. And this is one of the standouts. When we rolled this song, I got very happy. It's been a very long week here in Canada. I was like, I just hope we get something good. We've been on a roll. We've had a lot of great tunes the last few weeks. The Wheel has been very, very kind to us, and they delivered us an all-time Van Halen classic. This is maybe top 10 all-time for me. I love Beautiful Girls. This is absolutely what dreams are made of. Mark, oh boy, are you going to surprise us here?
I have shocked you all. Yes. Look, this is going to sound really funny admitting this, but I've never really actually said this out loud, but there was a time where in order to get myself psyched up on the chance in my younger days that I was going to meet a beautiful girl, I would play this song, you know, as is like, you know, psych me up music. Like, yeah, you know, maybe perhaps in some way listening to the sound waves would help me channel my inner David Lee Roth, just in terms of charisma. This is like, if I could have just a speckle of charisma like that dude has, then I'm golden. Then I think the sky is the limit, and you know, the night is young. Most of the times it would turn out the way the little spoken word section where he goes, "Hey, where are you going?" Sorry. it mostly end up like that, but it's fine. It's, you know, you learn, or you live and you learn, and you understand that very few people are Diamond Dave. I certainly am not. So, but this, I mean, I echo everything you just said, Corey, just about this song. It's so fun. It oozes the essence of what Van Halen is, was, and ever will be. I think this is just one of many songs, because I'm not going to put them in a small bubble, because that is not what Van Halen is. If we've learned anything just in the few shows we've done, we know that you can't put them in a small bubble of a particular, like, this is their formula, they never break out of it. Like, no, they break out of it all the time. It's fine. We'll get to some of the more dramatic cases one of these days, but still, this is quintessential Van Halen to me, especially. I love this album. I love this song. I love that you end the album with this song. As I said, it's like the party's not over. It's just, we're just getting started, you guys. And it's just wonderful. It's fun. And if this isn't a part of your top 10 of Van Halen tracks, then I'd be very curious to hear what your top 10 is, because I feel like Beautiful Girls absolutely belongs there. But again, that's just me. I know, but I echo Corey's sentiment 100%. Beautiful Girls is a beautiful gem of a song.
You know, I found a great quote by Steve Vai here. He was in David Lee Roth's solo band after the split back in 85. And he said, and I quote, "I was listening to Beautiful Girls, and what hit me was that these wild assortment of bends and growls and zany guitar sounds, they functioned almost as commentary on David Lee Roth's outrageously hypersexual Bugs Bunny persona." Like, geez, that makes a ton of sense when you think about it.
I called him rock and roll clown, but no, I was wrong. He's Bugs Bunny. Damn, that's perfect. Of course, thank you, Steve Vai, for that, because geez, that makes so much sense.
It really does. And when you think about, again, just kind of looking at the trivia here, the group wrote this song in David Lee Roth's basement. His father was a dentist, I believe, and had a lot of money. So that's kind of where they went to rehearse and work on stuff. And they had just finished a tour, and they're under tight pressure to record the second album, because they were releasing an album every single year. And allegedly, this album took 6 whole days to record.
Wow.
Yeah, can you imagine? A classic album like Van Halen 2, less than a week to record?
No, I can't. But then again, you know, it's, we're talking about a different caliber of musician back then. I mean, I'm sure there were others that did the same, if not maybe even quicker, but just because it came to them. And kudos to all you guys out there. Recording's hard, and these things take time, especially when you're creating art that you don't even know is going to be like somebody's masterpiece one day. Like, that's going to be the thing that you're going to be remembered for so many years. You don't think about that when you're in the process. You're just trying to make something that you think is good and that you hope the audience will enjoy, because if they don't enjoy it, then it's not fun anymore. But yeah, I can't imagine doing all of this in a week and still have it sound just remotely as good as it turned out. That's incredible.
Oh yeah, David Lee Roth, thank you too. I just want to shout out a couple of new listeners we got here. The folks at Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast have reached out to us. They're really digging the show. They were going to do a show actually on Van Halen before we kind of took up the mantle, and so they're kind of going through right now listening to our older shows, and hopefully they'll realize we're getting better at this whole Van Halen podcasting deal as we kind of go along here.
I hope so.
Yeah, no kidding. But they're having a lot of fun, and they're actually not looking at the tracks as they go. They want to be surprised, kind of as we are every single week. I told them spinning this fucking wheel is my favorite part of the week now, because I don't know what I'm going to get. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be something great, though. And tonight it was something absolutely classic. But I want to thank them for listening. A ton of new listeners here that have been giving the show a chance. And I really appreciate it. Of course, John Mariano was on last week. Him and I, if I might just segue here a little bit, Mark.
Tell the people.
We had so much fun last week, Mark, doing the show on Fools. And after the show, you had to kind of log off because you had to work the next day. John and I stayed on, and he came up with an idea for an Aerosmith podcast. I'm like, Aerosmith is one of my favorite bands of all time, right up there with Van Halen. And they're in the conversation for greatest American band of all time. And I thought, geez, absolutely ripe for a podcast. Kind of similar, but a little different in that instead of spinning a wheel, we're going to roll a dice. And we're each going to pick some tracks to put on the dice. We're going to spin it each week. We're going to talk about that track, and we're going to decide if it belongs on our ultimate Aerosmith mixtape. People my age remember mixtapes. Mark, you're too young. It's almost like a playlist.
I'll have you know I made mixtapes.
Did you?
Mix CDs. Yes, I did. My generation is the last bit of that that did that.
Well, I tell you, I'm looking forward to this because we're going to have like one of those kind of extra long cassette tapes, the C60s, so we could have like an hour, or sorry, 90 minutes on each side. So we're each going to pick 9 tracks. We're going to have 18 tracks on our ultimate mixtape. So to boil down the entire Aerosmith discography, which has got to be over 300 songs, down to top 18 is going to be quite the challenge, but one I'm very much looking forward to.
I mean, and I can think of no two people that will be more entertaining in this venture than you and our good friend Mariano. Tell us the name of the show again.
It is called Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. And Backtracks may become a series. You know, once we kind of get through Aerosmith and do that mixtape, maybe we jump to another group. But right now it's Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be recording them on Thursdays. They'll be dropping every Wednesday. So the first 2 episodes actually are going to be dropping this coming Wednesday as you listen to this. We're going to do kind of an introductory episode. And then episode 1, we're jumping right into it. We're spinning the dice and we're coming up with a classic Aerosmith song. So I'm hoping fans of Van Halen here who also like Aerosmith will give us a try. Like I said, I'm really encouraged with the number of people. Brian Paterkin is another one who's been listening to us and retweeting everything. He actually hated It's About Time. He thinks that's one of the worst Van Halen songs, which is one of my favorite Sammy Hagar songs. So I thought that was interesting that
he
had to come out and say it's, and I'm going to read his tweet here because it's great.
Do it.
One of the worst songs Van Halen ever released. It started off great with that heavy guitar intro. Eddie's bass playing is very good. But man, once it hits the chorus, it becomes another song. Just unbearable to listen. During the song, Sammy does some good things vocally. And I love that song. But then another one is Inside, which we both hated. He really liked. Yeah. So I love that we have this kind of opposite thing going with Brian, and that's great. And I'm hoping Brian sticks with us, and I'm hoping he liked Beautiful Girls, but at least he's digging the show.
Great. Brian, I respect your opinion, even though if my face, you can't see it, but rest assured my face, it was very puzzled by your logic there, but it's fine. This is part of the fun of the show. I love that. Is it possible Brian is a Gary Cherone guy?
You know, I kind of hope so. He hasn't commented
so too.
Yeah, I don't know if he's commented on Dirty Water Dog yet. I'll have to go through.
Brian, if you haven't, we're gonna need you to go check out that tune and give us your unabridged, full, uncensored opinion about how you feel about that one.
I know he's looking forward to Mean Street. From Fair Warning, which is another one that I'm very much looking forward to as well.
That's right. I mean, we actually, there's a lot of people, when we were talking about that album, a lot of people are looking forward to Mean Street. So yeah, just, I can't wait either. You guys, like, trust me, it's not up to us. It is the spin of the wheel. We are, to quote another band that, has just been aforementioned, we are living on the edge, as it were, by just, you know, spinning the wheel and rolling the dice. So be sure to check out that new show from our friend Corey and John. But Corey, where can the people find you if they want to chat you up?
They could find me at CD Morset on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find the show at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter. And, podcastwillrock.com is the website address. Get yourself some merch. We actually sold some merch, Mark. Some folks out there bought some coffee mugs, bought some stickers. That's awesome. Thank you very much for supporting the show. And thank you for, you know, retweeting and liking tweets and just leaving reviews and helping grow the show. I have no idea if we're doing good or not. I know we passed 2,100 plays on 15 shows. I think that sounds good. I don't know if it is or not.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
You know, we fit the charts in the US and Canada, Thailand, Great Britain, Australia. I think that's all fantastic. Please continue to help us grow. We're having a lot of fun doing it. We're going to get better as we go along. The songs have been fantastic lately. And I'm looking at the wheel. There's like 102 songs left, and I'm kind of sad. Like, oh, we're almost done. We've only done 16 of these.
It's like, no, we have only just begun, sir. And then I want you all to take note of that. Save the soundbite, if you will, because there's going to come a time where we're 60 shows into it and Corey's going to go, man, this is just never going to end. Probably after we do a song. Yeah, it's like,
we're just halfway. Oh my God.
Oh boy. Yeah. We've got a long way to go, but man, we're having fun doing it. I'm certainly having a blast. So, you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. If you guys are getting merch, the stickers, the mugs, the shirts, the hoodies, everything, take a picture, like show us your gear, your swag, if you will. If you're putting the stickers on your car bumper, one, don't do that. But two, if you do that, take a picture of it and just, let us know that you're letting the world know that we're out there. And it's not just us, you guys, we are part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, and there are lots of awesome shows you can check out there. I'm sure, Corey, can you give them a little taste of what they can expect on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network?
Absolutely. Sabbath Bloody Podcast, fantastic Black Sabbath podcast. They do tremendous work. It's all things Black Sabbath, hosted by Rye. That's the go-to for Black Sabbath. Skinnerd Reconsidered, a great Lynyrd Skynyrd podcast hosted by The Simple Man. You can find that on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. The Deep Purple Podcast. You know, that's what I'm listening to. And Deep Purple was a band I always thought, yeah, they're good. But I never owned a Deep Purple album or anything. I was always kind of a casual fan. But as I'm listening to the show, I'm like, these guys are really fucking good. Like, and they just had Chris L from Pot of Thunder on. But I'm really becoming a big Deep Purple fan thanks to this podcast. I'm going to go out and get some vinyl on Deep Purple. Nate and John host that show. T-Bone's Prime Cuts. Hosted by T-Bone Mathley. He's great. Every Friday he does a follow Friday kind of thing with everybody on the podcasting feed. Does a great job. It's had some great interviews on there. Definitely check out that show. In the Lap of the Pods, the Queen podcast. My friends from Scotland, Paul, David, and Joe, they have the thick Scottish accents, and it's absolutely wonderful. I love listening to that show. They're fantastic. The Magicians podcast. There's another band I didn't know much about, Uriah Heep, but I'm going through this show and I'm like, man, Uriah Heep, especially their newer stuff, really shocking me. That's really, really good. Scott Haskin hosts that show. And I know Scott has already reached out about maybe appearing on the Aerosmith show. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully getting him on very soon. Hawk Binge is starting a new season. Andy and Matt, there's a band I don't know much about, but going to be checking out that show very soon. Journey Through the Hawkwind Discography. Maiden A to Z, Mark, I believe you're a pretty big Iron Maiden fan. Eric and Jonathan host that show. They've kind of mentioned there might be an open slot maybe for you and I to come on that show. And I know you, for one, have been kind of jumping up and down a little bit. Looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, yeah, big old Maiden guy here. And it's that's only happened in the last probably 10 years, really. But I sort of did my own deep dive, as it were, into Maiden, and I've just like kicked myself for not being a fan sooner. But I understand why they are so revered. So yeah, I'm awesome podcast. I'm very much looking forward to you know, taking part.
They do a fantastic job, and if you didn't get enough Sabbath with Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Diary of the Madmen, they do all things Aussie. So they're talking Sabbath, they're talking solo stuff. Two lifelong Aussie fans, Daniel and Josh, Diary of the Madmen, check that out. Universally speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers podcast, that's timely now because the Chili Peppers just released a new song. So
they did, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be talking about that new album whenever it comes. Ben and Sam Townsend, brothers who do that show. And of course, the Metal Gods podcast, all things Judas Priest. And I know that's a band that Mark and I, back in the old days, I did a podcast. We thought, well, what's a good album to do? And I know immediately you threw out Painkiller by Judas Priest. So there's another band that I know brings a smile to your face.
It does indeed.
Awesome. And that's the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. And who knows, maybe you'll see a little Aerosmith show pop up on there sometime in the near future.
Definitely looking forward to that. I know our listeners would get a real kick out of that. If you love Van Halen as much as we do, I guarantee you Aerosmith is probably somewhere within your ether. So that is going to be absolutely hysterical to listen to, just because I know these two guys, but also it's going to be very, very informative, I think, as well. Just give us a little insight into how you guys choose your rock music with this playlist idea, or this mixtape, as it were. I'm so looking forward to it. I know our audience is going to look forward to it. Thank you all for listening. Keep listening, keep sharing, spread the word, wear the merch, take the pictures, tweet the tweets, look out for the next rock and poll. You guys are very active in the polls. We love that. That's amazing. And you know what else is amazing? Van Halen is amazing. One of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, of which we would not be here talking about their discography. We love it. We know you love it. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.